you know, somewhere in the Ukraine or in Russia or the surrounding nations this morning are probably, whether it's a whisper or singing in loud praises, they're probably singing that song, I'm a child of God, or the blessings. Can't imagine. And I know we say this enough, but can't imagine what they're going through. Anyways, we continue to keep them in our prayers. Amen. If you don't have one of these, I'm not going to make announcements this morning. Just pick one of this up on your way in and out. There's a bunch of events that we're doing and information on there. We'd love to have some information of you as well. And if you want to know more about our church, pick up one of those. We certainly... If you don't have communion, go ahead and get one as well. Raise your hand. You came in with one of these emblems. We're going to do that during our church service as well. So, yes, I'm talking to it. Sounds like Vela this past week at 3 o'clock in the morning, all week. 3 o'clock in the morning, she wakes up. Wah, wah, mommy, daddy, all kinds of stuff. We love babies around here, don't we? So, I know it's a hard week, man. What do you do? How do you preach? How do you teach? We think about videos and music and how do we come up with words and illustrations that is captivating and life-changing, and then the idea of our brothers and sisters over in Russia or in Ukraine or in Canada are just going through this madness. And how do we conduct a church service and, you know, put on this production? But we're going to get through it. We'll continue the book of Joshua. As you already know, last week they crossed into the Jordan River on what? On dry ground. And that's a constant reminder for me as well. They crossed the Jordan on dry ground. And I want to remind you, when you read this, right, it points to God, the Savior. It points to Jesus, and it's about Jesus. It's only about Jesus. Anything else is not correct. And when you read the Old Testament, it should bring you to an aha moment of, oh, that's why Jesus did that, or that's why he said that. So that's how the Old Testament is connected to the New Testament. This right here is the work of God. It answers life's toughest questions. What is the meaning of life? And how will all this work out? And every day, every week, I look at this and I remind myself, and you should as well, that this is a work of God. And it tells me that I'm going to be okay. And that's for you as well. That this thing right here, this thing we call the Bible, it's the work of God. And it tells you and I that we're going to be okay. So let's continue. Joshua chapter 4. When I took this position, I told you that we're going to share this word from word to word, chapter to chapter, pages to pages. So here we are, Joshua chapter 4. We're going on 6 weeks of Joshua. It might take us all year to go through it. Joshua chapter 4, beginning verse 4. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you. Put them down at the place where you stay tonight. We're going to skip down all the way to verse 19. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they have taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan River, or crossed the Jordan, on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you have crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea. When he dried it up, dried up before us until we had crossed over, he did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful and soul, that you might have always fear the Lord your God. So the scenario says, after they crossed the Jordan, he commanded the 12 leaders of the 12 tribes to go back into the Jordan, to go where the high priest was standing, and pick up some stones. 12 stones to be exact. And take the stones and go to the camp and put it down where they're going to be laying their head that night. Something happened as well way before that. Remember Jacob took the stone, laying on his head. Remember the sermon? There's a ton of connections in the scripture. It's so consistent throughout from Genesis all the way to Revelation. I highly recommend you read the Bible, honestly. You should really read it on your own, okay? So building stone as a memorial, it's nothing new to them. Right? In the Old Testament, it's a constant practice. People saw these monuments, these memorials, whether they are local or just traveler passing through these cities. They were reminded of a time when God was faithful to the people. If they didn't know the story behind it, they would ask. And when they would ask, the elders of the village or whatever land they're living in would have to repeat and tell the story over and over and over again, from the generations to generations, to visitors, to travelers, to wherever comes through their land. They would see this monument and they would say, what is that about? So in a sense, it's ingenious from God, right? Like, I mean, he's God. He thinks of this stuff. It's ingenious for God because he's inviting them and all of us to constantly participating in his work, in retelling, that we're taking part of God's work, passing down the stories of his greatness and his faithfulness. I mean, think about this. Every time, let's say you ask me what the cross means, I get to tell you what it means over and over and over again. And once again, I remember the cross myself. I'm confessing to the cross myself. But I'm also sharing the story of the cross myself. So God is essentially inviting all of us to play part in retelling the story. When a traveler passes into your town, tell them what the 12 stones represent. To remember that God can. That remember God can. They specifically illustrate one point. Tell them the Israel crossed the Jordan River on dry ground. They made it a point of emphasis, that they walked on dry ground. Now keep in context of where they had just come from. They just came out of Egypt. They saw the Egyptians. They saw the pharaohs. They saw the whips cracks on their backs that they're being slaved to build the pyramids or whatever they were building. They saw that. They saw how their people were being enslaved. They saw that. They heard the cracks of the whips late at night as they're sleeping and their brothers are outside of their camp being worked to death. They heard that. As they were leaving, they saw the plague. I'm thinking the Israelites went through the most horrific scenarios in life. None of us have ever gone through something like this. They were leaving Egypt and they saw the chariots behind them and the horses and the flying arrows. And they got to the Red Sea. What do we do, Moses? And they experienced the fire by day, by night, so they wouldn't get bitten by snake. They experienced the cloud by day, so they couldn't get sunburn in the desert. For 40 years, they experienced this. They drank water out of rocks. They didn't know where the next sip of water was going to come from, that Moses has to take the stick and hit it against the stone so the rocks can come out. They didn't know where the next meal was going to come from, that they had to pray to God and rely on God, and manna would come down from heaven. We never have to do that. Some of you guys already have crock pots going this morning as you leave to go to church. So make sure when you get home, you have food. But these people, and then when they got to the Jordan River at flood stage, they have to cross it. What do? Joshua, well, the ark going to go ahead of you, and you're going to walk across it on dry ground as a people of God.
We ought to always, and I emphasize this, we ought to always remember that God can. We always pray to God and tell the story of God. As a people of God, we are to always remember God, pray to God, and continue to tell the stories of God. We do this when we have plenty. We do this when we are in need. We do this when we are well. We do this when we are not well. We do this when we have the world wrapped around the fingers, thinking we got it all under control. But we also do this when we're confused and laying in bed and the ceiling fans is swirling ahead of us. We do this when we're happy. We do this when we're sad. We do this when we're joyful, and we do this when we're lonely. When life seems impossible, remember God can. Amen. When life seems impossible, remember God can. I think about it all week. How would our American culture pastors would take this message and drop it in the middle of Ukraine or Russia right now? What would we focus on? Do we focus on the lights and the drums and the shoes and the outfits? Or do they just need to know that they are a child of God and that God can? When we stop remembering God, when we stop praying to God and telling the stories of God, the world at large and our own little world as well turns into chaos, doesn't it? We begin to look right, we begin to look left, which is what Joshua was commanding to the people as they were getting ready to cross into Jordan. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, he says this very specifically, my third sermon into this, be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. The biggest problem with humanity is not a shortage of food or resources, or land. The fact that our hearts has grown so callous to the commands of God. We look right, we look left. We look over the borders and say, I want that. I want what he have. I want what she have. We want more rather than worshiping God more. What we have experienced or seen in the last 2 years, going on three, now what's happening in Canada or Ukraine or Russia and the surrounding country should make us realize this. As people of God, more now than ever, we ought to always remember God, that he can. We should pray to God more. And we should participate in telling the stories of God. We have grown somewhat callous to the words and the command of God. You know, instead of me telling you God this morning, and I want to let you tell the stories of God. We're going to pray to God. We're going to pray to our brothers and sisters in Christ in the Ukraine together, in Canada, in Russia, and here in our country as well. We've never done this before, but I'm going to pass the mic around. If you feel led to pray this morning, you raise your hands, I'll bring you the microphone, and you pray. Anyone?
Father God, we surrender all to you right now. We are reminded by the power of your word how great and how awesome you are. We thank you, Lord God, for your creation. We thank you, Father, for the power of your word and your spirit that continues to guide and to lead and to direct us in all your ways. We recognize, Holy Father, how weak and how frail we are in mind and in spirit and in body. Yet, God, you are strong. You are almighty, omnipotent, omniscient. You are the great and mighty God. So we prostrate ourselves before you this morning. And we acknowledge, O God, that only you can make all that is wrong around us right. We seek your light this morning, God, that our own light might shine, that others may see your glory and come to rejoice and sing your praises. Father, we seek your voice that we might speak more loudly and more clearly, that your word, Holy Father, might reach out to the lives of those who are lost. We thank you for the love that you have shown to us, Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we also, Father, might demonstrate your love, that it might also reach to all corners of this earth. We give you thanks, Holy Father, this morning, because there is so much that we need to be thankful for. God, we thank you for life and for health. We thank you for family and friends. Even, Father, as we think of the situation in Europe right now. Lord God, we lift up our brothers and our sisters in the battle zone. And we know, Father, that you are there with them. You promised never to leave or forsake us, God. And we hold this as gospel truth, Father, that you are there with our brothers and sisters, even at this time. We ask, God, that your word will go forth and will speak to the hearts of men everywhere, that those who have not yet come to the saving knowledge of who Christ is may, Lord God, submit themselves to your perfect will. You remind us in your word, Father, that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to your glory and your praise. Speak to our consciences this morning, dear Father. Speak to our aspirations in Christ. Let we look to each other with love and with caring, with understanding, knowing that as we love each other, we do love you and we express our love for you. Bless our hearts today, Father, as we come and as we submit ourselves to your perfect will. Thank you for your word today, Lord. May you just bind us together. May you strengthen our resolve to stay the course as we continue faithfully in your service. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Our Lord and our strength comes from you. We pray all these mercies as we ever continue to give you thanks. In the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our soon coming King, in whose name we pray.
Genesis to Revelation. The Lord, Lord, we come to you in repentance. Because so many times we have faltered and turned from you to the right and to the left, looking for what the world can bring to us. Lord, we just ask your mercies and your grace to just pour out on us. This broken world. Lord, to your glory, may we act and think and say and do for not our own purposes, for not our own recognition, but utilizing the gifts that you gave us for one purpose, and that's for your glory in a way that impacts others for your kingdom. Lord, there are hurting souls out there. There are desperate times in the hot spots of this world now, Ukraine and Russia and Canada, and yes, in parts of the United States. Lord, there are desperate times. There is anxiety of people not knowing where to turn because perhaps they don't know you. And they don't know you because we have faltered. We have faltered from our pulpits and so many times. We have faltered in our own personal growth in you, in our lack of courage to speak truth into those that need to hear it. And so now there are those that are desperately seeking peace, seeking comfort, but yet they don't have the tools, Lord. We repent and pour that to your feet, Lord, and ask us, and just ask that you just guide us into a deeper understanding of faith, courage, that we do impact these parts of the world, not only the parts of the world that are across the seas that need it desperately, but in that very small sphere of influence that you've given us each and every day within our family, circles of friends, Lord. May we be bold. May our hearts grow bold. May the people of Ukraine call on you. May they impact those, perhaps Russian soldiers that are coming in, that I know are full of anxiety as well. They're doing what they have been told to do, Lord. May the spirit that lives in those believers show a light in that darkness, Lord. We love you, Lord, with the fact that we can come here today and call on your name and pray to you for those that need you desperately. We just ask for that grace and mercy that has shown itself throughout Scripture to just pour out now, Lord. We love you, Lord, and we know that you are the answer. And we ask for opportunities now to share who you are in our lives. In the precious Son's name, amen.
Our precious Lord and Savior, I just ask your protection over our brothers and sisters. For your protection over our brothers and sisters here in the United States of America. You blessed our nation so long ago, Lord, because we held you in high esteem. May we bring you back in this country. We want you back in this country. May we be bold for you and proclaim your name once again. May we stand with Israel and not turn our backs. You will bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel. And Lord, that's what's happening in our country right now. We are turning our backs on Israel. May the pastors in this country be bold for you. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for New. He has that boldness, Lord. May there be more people like him, more pastors like him, who will be bold and proclaim your name. Lord, again, I ask your protection on all those in Ukraine at this time and all over the world. And it's in your name I pray. Amen.
We come to you, God Almighty. We thank you so much for this privilege that we have to come together and call on your name, because you are the King of Kings, and we know where you shine, there is no darkness. And we ask for you to cover us. Cover all those who are hurting, those who are crying out to you, because we know we are in a spiritual war. But we know that in the end, we will win because of you, God. And so we ask, we proclaim victory upon your people. And as we come together as a church, with our brothers and sisters together, we cry out and we praise you and we thank you, because we know glory is ahead and no weapon formed against us shall what? Amen. So we love you, God, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, because it's coming, you're coming, and we know that these are the pangs before, that we know these are the end of times, but we know that you are a God of grace, and greatness is ahead for us. And we praise you, we thank you, because we believe and we trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you for our pastor. Thank you for this church. And thank you for this community that is coming together. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
David said, the fool thinks there is no God in their heart. They are corrupt. The power that is right now in the world thinks they are the kings of the world. They are corrupt. All people are children of God. And despite all that's going on in the world, as Christians, we know that we are at the end of age and we should be ready for you to come back. We pray for the people in Ukraine, in Soviet Union, in Russia, in Canada, in Haiti, and everywhere in the world. And we know they are God's children. And everybody that become disciples, we are adopted by God. And we have one thing to do. We need to march on, because we need to see the promised land. We need to be vigilant. We need to be getting up, as Joshua said, and be victorious and courageous to see the promised land as a church.
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the God that you listen to our prayers. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy that allows us to come before your throne directly. We don't have to go through anybody else. We can go directly before you, Father. We have reverence and awe because you do answer prayers, Father. We think of the blind man who you approached and asked him, "What can I do for you, Father?" Father, you know what he needed, Father. He needed sight, but you asked him, "What can I do for you?" He asked each of us, "What can I do for you?" You have the answers, Father. You answer in your perfect time, your perfect way. Sometimes we miss it. We don't understand, but you answer, Father God, because you're such a gracious God. We thank you, Father, for your grace and mercy. There are many in here today who are suffering. Many have problems, Father, both their physical, emotional, even spiritual, Father God. We ask they come and you surrender their hearts to you and let them know, Father God, let them know if they can ask you to, how can you help them, Father? Thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for Jesus. We give thanks in the precious, powerful name of Jesus.
Dear God, sometimes it's so hard for me to wrap my head around why war happens and why can't they just get along? Why can't they just work it out? But Lord, it starts with us in our own homes, and we can understand why war happens because in our own homes with the people we love the most, we're rude and impatient. We compete to win. We are self-righteous. And I think about how much it breaks my heart when my boys fight, and I can't imagine how much it grieves you when people are killing others and at war with one another over basically power and land and money, Lord. And that's why it's so important for us to seek peace and pursue it first in our own homes with the people you've called us to love as our first ministry, and then out in the world too, Lord. So I pray that you would help us to, when we feel helpless with everything that's going on in the world, help us to just really dig in our heels and put our heads down and seek peace and pursue it in our own homes. If we're holding on to resentment, or if we're being petty, if we're just not being kind in our own homes, if we're not being fair, if we're just fighting for our own way, Lord, I pray that you would convict us first and foremost in our own homes. And then, you know, the world is a sum of all the parts, and we can really make a difference if we start with our own homes, Lord. So I pray for the people in Ukraine that are scared and anxious and uncertain. And I also pray for the Russians that don't want any of this and that love their brothers and sisters in Ukraine. So I pray for the powers that be, that the good ones and the evil ones alike, you created them and you love them all. And just like Paul in the Bible, who was basically a terrorist, Lord, you changed his heart, and look at all that you did with him. And so we know that you can change hearts, and we just pray that you would, starting with our own. In Jesus' name.
You have your communion. Go ahead and take that out. No matter the conflict in our own homes, between our children or between Liz and I, the meal together brings us together. When Jesus says, "As often as you do this in remembrance of me." And nothing more pleasing to God than brothers and sisters coming together, having a meal together. If you don't have this, go ahead and raise your hands. Our ushers will give you one. But as often as we do this, I know that even within this room, there's many backgrounds and languages, different wants, different level of success. But this is the great equalizer We're all just children of God. So he says, do this in remembrance of me. He says, this is the cup, the blood of the covenant being poured out for us, that we're all a cover, the blood of Christ, that we all have fallen short the glory of God. Do this in remembrance of him. The next few moments, why don't you spend some time on your own? Just pray to God. Spend some time in silence. Go ahead and be seated. And Jesus came along and he told this parable. He says in Matthew chapter 7, therefore anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the stream rose, and the wind blew, beats against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had the foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the stream rose, and the wind blew and beats against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus has finished saying these things, the crowd was so amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not the teacher of the law. So these are the aha moments that you read the scripture. You're like, why did Jesus say the things that he did? In the Old Testament, they had to set stones as they passed through the river as a memorial. So God is inviting them to enter into this retelling the stories of him, of remembrance and praying and retelling the story. So in the New Testament, Jesus says, these words are the rocks, are now the stones that serves us as a reminder to remember God that he can, to pray to God when we're in need, to tell the stories of God for generations and generations and generations to come. And any time in our lives that we go against the word of God or we turn right and we turn left and we focus on the human ideas, the human expectations and our own pride and our will, we essentially live as slaves to this world. The real war is not against each other. The real war is waging in our hearts. We're fighting against God and his words. This was a confusing idea for early Christianity as well, because all of a sudden they were expecting the Messiah. They were expecting the seed of David, the seed of Abraham. They're expecting that the Savior is going to come for the Israelites. But all of a sudden Jesus comes along and says, all of you can be saved. All of you can believe in me. All of you can hear these words and put them into practice. So it was confusing for them as well. But then Peter wrote a letter to the churches in the Mediterranean coast. 1 Peter chapter 2, this is his letter to them. He says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by human but chosen by God and precious to him, you also like living stones and are being built into spiritual houses to be holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Where in the Old Testament they have to stack stones as a reminder. In the New Testament, Jesus' words and himself is the living stone. The real war in our lives is not with the world, but with each other, or with each other, but really it's against God. As people of God, and I believe more now than ever, we ought to always remember God, that he can. We pray to God, and we take on the responsibilities as God inviting us to tell the stories of God for generations and generations and generations. Essentially, you are now the stones being built into spiritual homes you are now the stones, that people look at you and they say, why is that different? And you invite them to hear the stories of God. Has the band come forward? If you have any decision to make this morning, any prayers, if you're not a Christian and you want to know what this is all about, and some of you guys might be visiting this morning for the first time, you're like, that was kind of weird. You know, they stop in the middle of service and start praying. I thought I was just coming to hear and watch a performance that makes me feel good and go home. No, God is inviting you to be a part of his creation, to be a part of retelling the stories of God. And if you need to make that decision this morning to be a part of that, that you are a child of God, that you need forgiveness, God's grace covers all of us. You never accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. I'm inviting you at this time to meet me here. And if you need prayers, our elders will be up here to pray for you as well. But let's stand. Don't leave here today without making a decision for God.